I'll give you that. Turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Hold that there. I'm going to read this. Amen. Praise God. How many knows we've got to be saved in order to go to heaven? Amen. Brother Bowers was preaching just right along those lines for the canon the same way. Amen. Amen. I praise God that He has given us the truth of His Word. Amen. We don't have to be in error. Amen. If we're in error, how many knows it's our own fault? Come on. If we're living false, amen, it's our own fault. I mean, we've got a book here that's laying it out for us, outlining it for us. Amen. If you live by this holy book, amen, you're going to be right and you're going to make it to heaven. And that's all there is to it. Praise God. Amen. But I'm a firm believer, amen, that not everybody that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. I'm a firm believer that not everybody that wears the label Christian is going to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't believe that you've got to have the label holiness, amen, in your title or in your church name. Amen. But I believe in holiness. Amen. I don't believe that you've got to have a certain denominational name or even be undenominational or independent or separatist or puritist or whatever you want to be. Hey, I don't believe you got to be a certain name or title, amen, besides a believer or besides Christian. Amen. Amen. As long as you believe in the whole book, amen, sometimes I wonder, amen, if I know a lot of churches put the label and title full gospel. Amen. I believe I'm full gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. And some people say, you're Baptist? Sure, I'm Baptist. I believe in baptism. I believe in baptizing. That reminds me, amen, we need to talk about that. Just a quick announcement, amen, to throw right in here. We're going to, a lot of you have talked to me and spoke to me about baptizing. Amen. Get with me immediately after the service. If you want to be baptized, we're going to discuss it. I'm going to come up with a date and we're going to do it. Amen. And then have a good old-fashioned baptism service. Amen. I believe in being baptized. I believe in the Presbyterians. They believe in the presbytery or the leaders of the church. I believe in having leaders in the church. If you're talking about Methodist, I believe in sanctification. And there'd be a method toward after you get saved, there's a sanctification that takes place in your life. I'm all of these things. So really, a title don't mean a whole lot. Amen. Praise God. And I'm holiness. How many's holiness tonight? Amen. That's good. Amen. I want to read something before we get in our text. Bear with me. Amen. If you want to sit down until we get to our text, that's up to you. But, amen, I want you to hear this. You probably heard this before, but just bear with me a minute. To be holy. Amen. This little saying was taken from a Church of God literature sometime while back. I'm sure it wasn't in the last 20 years. I'm sure it's probably before that. Amen. To be holy means to be free from sin in a sinful world. To be free from guilt and defilement. Holiness means that the world is not in us, although we are in a sinful world. Holiness is to the soul what health is to the body. Holiness is God's way of keeping His people not from experiencing temptation, but from yielding to that temptation. Holiness is empowerment to live the Christian life. It is balancing the inner power against the outer demands. It is protection against the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Holiness is central in the plan and program of God. God is holiness personified. Jesus is holiness incarnate. The Holy Ghost is holiness executed. Sinai is holiness demanded. Calvary is holiness provided. The Bible is holiness explained. And salvation is holiness experienced. The sanctified saint is holiness demonstrated. Winning souls is holiness in action. The rapture is holiness promoted. Heaven is holiness consummated. Holiness is central in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, holiness is paramount. It shouts from the mountain peaks of Bible history. Holiness is angel song. Holiness is the saint's theme. Holiness is the climaxing purpose of Christ's mission and the central theme of His message. Holiness is the heart of the Gospels. Holiness is the backbone of the book of Acts. And holiness is the lifeblood of the epistles. And holiness is right. Amen. If you want to know what holiness is, that's what holiness is. Holiness is everything that you can think of that has to do with Christ. Amen. Amen. How many knows that God is holy? Amen. What is holiness? God is holy. Amen. And we cannot forget that. Turn with me over to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 20 here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got to believe in holiness, for He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. We believe in holiness, amen, because it's right. We believe in holiness, amen, because it's all through the Bible. Amen. We believe in holiness, amen, because that's the right way to believe. Amen. Daniel, get me a handkerchief for Sister Smith, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Mark chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible said, they came over to the other side of the sea and to the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. I want you to picture this with me tonight. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he had seen Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered and saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Those of you that don't know what swine are, them is hogs, amen. Them is hogs, all right? And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, or into the hogs, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine, oh my, listen, fled and told it in the city and in the country. Amen. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning them hogs, the swine. Amen. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come to the ship, he that hath been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. How many knows when God delivers you, he gives you a work to do? Come on, how many knows that? Amen. When God saves you, He don't save you just to be a pew warmer. Amen. He don't save you just to follow along and gather up the remnant. He don't ask you just to follow along and reap the blessings of someone else's soil, but He gives you a work to do. Come on, help me pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly praying, God, we feel you mightily in this place tonight. God, I thank you, God, for just another opportunity. God, you've given us to come into your house. I thank the Lord Jesus, woo, for the spirit that we feel here tonight, God. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you'd let us preach a word without fear and without favor. But God, you let us stand with backbone in this pulpit and preach a word, God. Here tonight, God, we thank you. you, Lord. Lord God, for this congregation, help us, Lord, to receive your word. Lord, to put it in our heart, to place it in our lives, God, that we can lead us into all truths. God, we thank the Lord for all of this. In Jesus' name we do pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lift your hands and magnify Him. Come on, give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe in holiness tonight. I want you to know I believe in holiness. I believe in holiness. Amen. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And that includes holiness of the spirit, soul, and the body. Amen. Oh, I believe in holiness inside and outside. I believe in holiness of your mind. I believe in holiness in your talk, in your walk, in your actions, in your attitude, in your appetites. Amen. In everything that you do, I believe in holiness. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to look at this scripture. Amen. I was too listening to the same tape. I made put it on disc for Brother Creech. Amen. Brother Teague was preaching. Amen. If you want to get a hold of that, that's something to get a hold of. He was preaching, amen, glory to God, of people Jesus could not help. He read this text, and when he read this text, I started thinking in my mind, amen, how these folks over in the Gadarenes, amen, how they were living with these swine, they were living with these hogs. The Bible says now there was nigh into the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, amen. We know the story about how Jesus and the disciples had landed over on the side of the country of the Gadarenes, and how Jesus, as soon as he stepped out on the shore that day, amen, that man named Legion, amen, he called himself Legion because he had many devils living inside of him. We see a Legion as he runs with all of his might and falls down at the Savior's feet to worship him. Oh, I pictured it in my mind. Just a sea coast on the side, maybe. Amen. The ocean there, and Jesus and the disciples coming over on the ship. And this place, it was full of tombs and full of rocks. And the mountain was there, and this man was there cutting himself and foaming at the mouth and acting all crazy. Amen. Oh, I haven't ever seen anybody do that. Amen. I don't know if they were possessed by a devil, but they actually did act crazy. Amen. Maybe they was. Amen. Had a devil. Amen. Come on. Amen. But this man was chained and he was bound. And Jesus came over, amen, and delivered him, amen, with the spoken word. He spoke it, amen. He said, come out of him. Now, I want you to notice here, I throw this in. Jesus did not sit there and beg that devil to come out. He didn't sit there and prime him and beg him and bribe him or anything. Come on. He didn't say, if you come out, he just said, come out. Amen. He didn't even say, I want you to notice something. He didn't even make the deal with the devil. He didn't say right off the bat, he didn't say, if you'll come out, I'll send you to them swine. He didn't tell him that. He just said, come out. That devil knew he was about to come out. That devil knew he had to turn that boy loose. That devil, come on now, we're talking about the power of Jesus. We're talking about the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us from all sin. We're talking about the precious Son of God, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. Amen. Amen. My rock, my chief cornerstone. When he says come out, you got to come out. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We were sitting one time, amen, I'll tell you this, I might have told you before. We were at a camp meeting one time in this United States of America. Amen, hallelujah. And we were sitting there, amen, and the man of God was looking down. I was looking down, and a bunch of ministers was praying for this one fella. Amen, and this fella was rolling around foaming at the mouth. And they were telling him, come out. And they had their Bibles on top of him. Amen, I thought they was getting ready to beat it out of him. Amen, they were straddling him. They were holding him down. He was fighting, kicking over the altar and all kind of just acting crazy. You know how, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they do. They act crazy. Amen. And that man of God was standing there. Amen. And I was standing right. I just happened to be the one standing beside him. Amen. And he was standing there and had that look on his face. And I thought to myself, there's the man of God, the man of the hour, the one that's probably going to preach here in a little while. And he's standing up there while them young preachers are down there casting out that devil. And he looks over at me, young preacher myself. He looks over at me, looks back down there and says, I wonder if those that are casting out that devil are as spiritual as that devil. Amen. Come on now. Hey, how many knows that the devil's spiritual? How many knows that devils and demons are spiritual? Hey, they live on another realm that we don't see. They live in that spiritual realm. They live on the same realm as the angels do. Hey, that's a spiritual realm. I know they're not in heaven, amen, but it's still the same realm. Hey, it's an unseen realm that we cannot see. I would dare say if we were to look around today in this church services, we'd see God's holy angels standing at the four corners of the wall as we were praising the name of Jesus. Amen. They were just glorifying God with us. If we could see it. Oh, I would hope that we could just look past, amen, this physical realm and look up and see the Father as Stephen did on the day that they stoned him. Oh, can you think about that? When Stephen looked up, what did he see? I mean, Stephen didn't have to rise up past the atmosphere to see him. Oh, Stephen was standing there, kneeling there, laying there. As they were stoning him, he looked up and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I know I'm going on a few different rabbit trails. I'm going to get back here in a minute. I wonder sometimes, they say, what about, amen, Jesus is standing. One passage it said he was sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. In this passage, and Stephen saw him, he was standing. Don't say why, but I just like to think maybe. Just maybe that old Jesus was up there and he looked and he knew Stephen was getting ready to come home. And he just stood up to receive him. Maybe, just maybe, I don't know. I just like to think that Jesus stood up at the moment he was dying to welcome him home. Come on, amen. Amen. I don't know. I'm just speculating here, but that just sounded good. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's get back. Amen. Jesus is delivering this man, Legion. Amen. And he tells him to come out. And Legion has a last request. He said, don't torment us before our time. Don't send us to that place of outer darkness before our time, Jesus. And Jesus, knowing the time had not yet come. Come on, it don't say this, but you know Jesus knew the time had not yet come for the end of the world. Amen. So he suffered them to go out into those swine. Amen. And where they went after the swine killed themselves, we never know. Amen. We may have run into a couple of them. Amen. Since then. Come on now. Amen. The devils are loose and they're on this earth for a reason. Amen. They're not going to be thrown into outer darkness until the final judgment. Amen. But Jesus suffered them. He said, go into the swine. They went into these swine, these hogs that was there in the country of the Gadarenes. Now, there's something you ought to know about the Gadarenes. This was also considered part of the Jewish nation, the Israelites. These people were Israelites. Come on. They were people of God. And unlike us Gentiles today, them people of God were not allowed to eat hogs. How many knows that? Jewish people don't eat hogs. They don't eat cloven hoof animals. Amen. They don't eat pigs. They don't eat hogs, swine, whatever you want to call them. They don't eat them. They're unclean. But somewhere down the line, these folks had got on the other side of the ocean, other side of the sea, over in the country of the Gadarenes, Gadara, and they had got over there and they had started raising swine. I mean, everybody knows swine are easy to raise. I mean, you just feed them the scraps. You just feed them the leftovers. They kind of take care of themselves. Amen. How many's ever had a hog in the backyard? Amen. And come on, Ember and June knows what I'm talking about. Sister Renee even, praise God. Amen. Knows what I'm talking about. Amen. You get a hog in the back. I don't care how bad he stinks. One of these days he's going to taste real good. Come on now. Amen. He's going to be making you more hungry. Amen. That hog's going to taste real good when we get him cut up into pork chops and bacon. Amen. And sausage and ham. Come on. Hey, praise God. It's going to be a good hog. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people would even go as far as to say that head and the chitlins and we don't eat none of that. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. Unclean. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Come on. But these people had gotten used to eating hog. I mean, how many's got used to eating hog around here? I mean, I don't know what we'd do without a good old ham and cheese sandwich. Come on now. I don't know what we'd do without a Christmas ham. Amen. And during the holidays. That, oh, it's good. What is bacon and eggs. Come on now. What would we do with that? We wouldn't have no meat for breakfast if we didn't have hogs. Come on now. We'd just be eating old chicken eggs. Come on. Amen. But listen, praise God. We've gotten used to eating hog. Amen. And that's the same way these folks, I mean, it was good. How could this be bad? I mean, this is a good thing. This stuff tastes real good. Amen. The fat's good to cook with. I mean, come on now. You can make good biscuits with hog lard. Amen. Come on now. Amen. It's real good stuff. And so they raised these hogs, 2,000 of them, standing there on the side grazing, wallering in the mud, whatever they do. Come on, find us something to eat. And the devils, amen, knew they could stir something else up. Amen. If they just said, Jesus, send us into them swine. Jesus didn't care about swine. They weren't allowed to eat swine. Cast them into those swine. And them two boys tending to the hogs looked over and said, now what are we going to do? We got to go home and tell Daddy that all them hogs is dead. We got to go home and tell Daddy that all he ain't going to be eating no bacon with his eggs for the next long while. We got to tell him that there ain't going to be no pork chops tomorrow, not for supper. Come on. Amen. So they began to spread it all over the town there. They began to spread it all over the country of Gadara that this man named Jesus, this man, oh yeah, you know, Legion ain't acting crazy no more. But I mean, did he have to get rid of 2,000 hogs? Did he have to get rid of our food? Did he have to get rid of our meat? Did he have to, what, that stuff tastes good. I mean, our kids are getting fat off this stuff. Amen, them hogs, that's good biscuits. Hey, that my mama makes with that hog fat. Amen, come on now. Amen, there's nothing wrong with them hogs. But them people knew down deep inside that them hogs was forbidden by God. Amen. And them Jewish people knew that them hogs was forbidden by God. Amen. And what they said to themselves when they stood there and they stood before Jesus, they'd say, Mr. Jesus, we'd just prefer that you'd leave this place. We don't care to hear what you have to say. Amen. Because, amen, we'd rather have, amen, our pigs than we'd have your power. Come on now. We'd rather have, amen, our swine than to have your salvation. Come on, amen. We'd rather have, amen, our hogs than to have your holiness. Come on now. Amen. We got to be careful, amen, what we trade holiness for today. Amen. A lot of times we'll look at it and say that's good, and we'll put a good label on it, and we'll put an okay label on it, but that don't mean it's okay, and that don't mean it's good. How many knows that it's holiness or hogs? Amen. You're either going to worship with your hogs and you're going to live with that swine, or you're going to live with God's holiness. Come on now. Today's day that we live in, we've got folks calling things right that are wrong, and we've got things calling things wrong that are right. Come on now. I mean, I don't know about you, but it ought to make you so mad. And the hair stand up on the top of your head, and your righteous indignation rise up higher than it's ever been because of these judges letting these homosexuals marry and letting folks get married in a God-ordained courthouse, amen, where the Ten Commandments aren't even allowed, but this abomination is allowed to go on. Come on now. You ought to be so angry and so mad when folks start talking about voting for this one or vote for that. Listen, amen, come on. I'm not one to start politicking, amen, and say this and that. But you better vote your convictions if you vote. I'm not here to politic and say be a Republican or be a Democrat. Amen, but if you vote the wrong way, you're supporting murder. You're supporting abominations. I'd rather you not vote. than to vote for. Come on, I'm not saying Bush is one of these great super duper whopper Christians either. I'm not saying he's not guilty, but he's going to take care of these homosexual loving judges. We need to call it like it is, don't we? Come on now. Amen. We are so much closer now to getting an abortion banned. And if we're not careful, it's going to reverse right on us. Amen. I would even go as far to say, amen, that I'm not even so sure that Bush is not going to win. Amen. And that Kerry's going to win. Amen. For the simple fact is that's the way this whole society and this whole world is going. And I mean, they're just marrying him by the whole bunches. And they're approving abortions. And they're letting this go on. Amen. And they're just, and you know, it's not even there. It's infiltrating our churches. Amen. Why is the spirit here? Why is this way here? Because we know longer say wrong is wrong, and we no longer say what's right is right. Amen. We allow people to sin and still go to heaven. We allow things to get by that we wouldn't allow 30 years ago. Come on now, we holiness or we not? Amen. We've gotten so used to them hogs. We've gotten used to the taste of them hogs. We've gotten used to the way this world is that we're desensitized to sin. I mean, we're so used to going to Walmart and to the mall and seeing how skimpy folks dress, amen, that we don't even think it's wrong anymore. Come on now. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about what we allow to go on and what we don't. And you see, you could say, Brother Smith, you're preaching legalism, and that's legalistic. I don't want to be legalistic, and I don't want to be legal and full of legalism. Amen. But it's time that we stand for what's modest, and it was time that we stand for what's right. Amen. How many knows there's a spirit behind the way they dress? When women want to be men, and men want to be women, that's that homosexual spirit. It is. And we say, we wonder sometimes when the church stands up against why are you being so mean and why are you being so ugly? We're used to them hogs. They didn't hurt nobody. They got a right to be there. It's sin. It's an abomination. We're so used to them hogs that we'll go around our family and our family will be living that way. And dress in any old way, amen. Come on, and we don't believe in outward adornment, amen. Why? Why don't we believe in jewelry and makeup and all? Why don't we believe in wearing necklaces? Certain way. Why do you think them tribes in Africa, amen, that had never seen the outside world, amen, got the bones to the nose, and got all this stuff decorating, amen? It's religious practice. It's religious, amen. It's paganism. And the church don't stand against it. I mean, in the Bible it clearly states that we should not be outwardly adorned, amen, with gold, pearls, and costly array. These things bring attention. It's prideful. And why do you wear it? Because it's purity. Because it's nice. Just think how much money that necklace cost. I mean, you're talking about, and I know, it's been such a long time. I believe me, I brought Sister Smith a necklace one time, years. We was in Germany. And that thing cost like $50, I think. How much are they now? 800. You're kidding me. You're telling me. $800. You can get a brand new computer for $800. You can feed a lot of people in your neighborhood for $800. Come on now. You can support missions, a lot of missions for $800. Come on now. I mean, come on, we've got this stuff and we wear it and we say, I'm a Christian. Amen. You could have took that money and you could, come on, this life is but a vapor. Amen. What are you laying up treasures for here? Come on, there's a whole bunch of different reasons why we can preach against it and why we should stand against it. But we're comfortable. We're so used to seeing it. We're so used to living with it. We're so used to being around it. Come on now. Amen, folks that claim to be Christians. Amen, watching all kind of ungodly movies. Amen, on TV. It starts out with one cuss word. And they say, well, amen, that was just one and it wasn't that bad. And then before you know it, they're watching it with two in it. And then before you know it, because they get used to it, it used to them hogs, it used to them devils, and they don't want to get rid of them. They'd have rather had them hogs. Amen. They said we were used to Legion. We dealt with him. Amen. Now I don't care if it was the pure devil. I don't care if it was the devil. A bunch of devils living there. We were used to them. We'd rather have our hogs. Leave them devils in Legion. We're used to him. That's what we're saying when we put our stamp of approval on ungodly living. We listen to gossip. And tailbearing, when we listen to folks, what we're doing, we're so used to hearing it, and we're so used to just taking it in, and we're so used to processing it that we don't even think twice about it. Well, amen, come on, it's almost like we go through withdrawals when somebody don't give us a new piece of information. Oh, I wish somebody would call me. I heard this and somebody just ought to let me know. Woo! It's what you get withdrawals when you don't find out. Because you're so used to that devil. You're so used to that gossip. You're so used to that tailbearing that you just crave it and you got to have it. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. And we go in this world and we see how people act and we see how people dress and we see how people talk. Amen. And we're so used to it. We're so accustomed to it. Amen. That we don't even back up. It don't even flinch us no more. It's like we're used to it. We don't preach against it no more. We're scared to name it anymore. I mean, we're scared to tell Brother Mike Cannon hit it on the head. We're scared to hurt somebody's feelings. But it's the truth anyhow. Jesus was not afraid. He said, fine, if you don't want the word, shake the dust off my shoe and I'll go somewhere else. Come on now. And you tell somebody, amen. Hallelujah. I've been faced with it. I said, Lord, what are you trying to do to me? I've had a good relationship with my family. Amen. And all of a sudden, I've got them calling me on the phone, telling me I got worldly family members from up north coming down south wanting to sing for us, wanting to give us a gospel sing. I mean, they're worldly. They don't even believe in speaking in tongues. They don't believe in holiness. Hell, man, I'm Pentecostal. And I got my close family members calling me and saying, come on, can they come over there? I said, Lord, just give me a backbone. Amen. And stand up for the truth, even if it is my own family. I said, Lord, I've been trying to win them. I've been trying to be kind to them. I've been trying to show them the love of God. But if it means compromising what I believe, I will not do it. Amen. I'm going to stand for truth. If it means they got to go somewhere else, I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stand for holiness. I'm going to stand for the truth. Come on now. It's holiness or hogs. And I'm telling you what, I don't want the hogs. Holiness or hogs? I'm not selling for hogs when I can have His holiness. I'm not selling for a bunch of pigs when I can have the power of God. Come on now. I'm not selling out for a bunch of swine for my salvation. Come on now. Woo! We got to stand for what's right. We got to stand for truth. Come on. It's holiness or hell. Holiness or hogs? Come on. I love the Lord with all of my heart. And I'm going to serve Him with all of my heart. I've got other folks, you know, other just family members, friends. I've noticed since being in the fire department, you're so close to friends. I've got folks now, another family member asking me, would you marry us? How do you say no to your family? Come on, one of these days you're going to face it. You're going to see what I'm talking about. It's not as easy as just saying no. You got to explain to them. You're not living right. I can't put God's consummation on your marriage if you're not living right. I can't, as a minister of God, give God's blessing over this union if you're not saved and if you're not living according to God's will. But I'm saved. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I was saved, and I've always, I don't go to church, and I cuss, and I drink, and I live like the devil, but I'm saved and going to heaven because the preacher told me so. How do you deal with, and you got to tell them, and now it creates a wedge between you and your family. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Amen, but you know what? Amen, I'd rather stand for what's right, and I'd rather stand because one of these days, that blood's going to be on my hands. If I say, yeah, bless them, Lord, bless this union, bless what's, and God's not blessing it, amen, come on, and they die and go to hell and say, oh, but my nephew J.R. said that he blessed us and said everything was all right. He never told me how I was living was wrong. He never told me. He didn't have the guts to tell me. Let me get a hold of him. They're going to be mad. And I'm probably going to be the next one in line. I thought, Lord, I was going to heaven. I preached right. You didn't tell them the truth. And their blood is going to be required of my hands. But you know what? Let's take it off me and let's preach here a little while. When you get in front of your family members and your friends, and you start talking to them, and an issue comes up, and you've probably already faced it maybe. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. And you've kind of explained it away or weaseled out of it or kind of twisted out of it or ducked around it. You know how we do. And you've avoided it. Amen. Come on. And you know they're going to call you for this and you don't answer the phone. Come on. Amen. You know they're asking you to do this and you know it's going to be against what you believe. Come on now. Amen. It was, you're going to have to stand just as I stand. God saved you and He's made you a minister. He's made you a witness. He's made you a preacher. He said, go and preach the gospel. Amen. He's made you a preacher to your family. Amen. So when you know the truth and they come to you and say this and that, and you don't stand up and say, no, I'm sorry, but it ain't this and that. Amen. Because you're scared of what they're going to feel about you. Then their blood is on your hands. But Lord, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. But your blood is, their blood is on your hands. God puts you in their life to give them the truth. It's holiness or false. It's heaven or hell. Amen. Praise God. He said, praise God. These men, they came out. They were so mad with Jesus. Get out of our country. We don't want you here no more. Get out of here. You're not welcome here no more. We're satisfied with our religion. We're satisfied with our belief. People believe that you can just live any old way and go to heaven. Not so, friend. I believe in salvation by faith through His grace. I believe in that. And I don't believe you got to work one iota to receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It's a free gift, freely gave. But when you get saved, you're going to have to start doing some things right. Because Paul said faith without works is dead. That means we can say, I've got faith, I got saved. But if you don't follow that with some works, we say all things pass away, all things become new. If we don't follow that with some works, it's dead. It's holiness or hogs. What you going to do? Them hogs taste good. And it seems right. Seems well. And it wasn't even the fact that, I mean, now we are allowed to eat. How many knows we're allowed to eat hogs now? I mean, why? Because Peter, when God gave Peter that vision, amen, and Peter saw all manner of eat food, and he said, rise, Peter, and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. This stuff's unclean. He said, eat. He said, why callest thou unclean what I have made clean? In other words, we pray over our food. We give thanks for it. We ask God to bless it, and now it becomes clean. He said, why hast thou called unclean what I have made clean? I know He was talking about the Gentiles, and I know that vision referred to the Gentiles. Amen. But we know now, amen, that we are not required to abstain from pork and things like this because God has called it clean, and we can, that's why we pray over our food. Amen. But the point was, amen, with the folks in Gadara, amen, the point was that God forbade it to the Jews. And they still had them. If God speaks to us through His Word and says, you can't chew pink bubble gum, then you can't chew pink bubble. No matter, you can argue, brother, it's not bad for you, and it tastes so good. And it blows the big bubbles. You can argue all the good points and make all the good things about it and say just how wonderful it is. And it's innocent. I mean, come on. But God said it. You can argue all day why a man should have short hair and a woman long hair. Argue all day. I don't care. You can argue till you're blue in the face. But God said it. He said it's a glory. Why is it a glory? Because God said it was. Why is it a shame for a man to have long hair? Because God said it was a shame. Because God said so. He said so. Is that good enough for you? But we say, but this and this and this. And it's, you know, I've heard, oh, it's so hard to fix. And it's so hard to manage. And I'm 80 years old and it's hard to manage. I'm not. Are you? I didn't say it. God said it. God spoke it. He commanded it. And it's not for me to argue with. It's not for me to raffle with. And we say, Brother Smith, but I don't believe that. I don't believe. I don't care what we believe. It's still so in the Word of God. If God said it, that means it, period. Somebody said, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. No, no, no. God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or not. You better. But it's still the Word. You can say, Brother Smith, I don't believe God's coming back. Well, that's your prerogative. You can believe it, but He's still coming back. Come on. That's the thing. Point blank. You can say and argue and say this ain't going to take place. You can say this ain't wrong. You can say all that you want to. And you know, the whole world is against living holy. The whole world, I mean, they say now this is the 90s. We don't live this, or 2000s. We don't live this way anymore. We don't have to do this anymore. Come on, you can say that all you want. That's all right. That's fine if that's the way you want to do. But God said it and that settles it. We've got to live by what He says. Not what we think, not what we feel. Not what we reason in our minds, because our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we cannot be righteous in our own self. We must take on His righteousness. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Period. Come on. Jesus is the right way. He's the right truth. He's the right life. Stand with me if you will. Holiness or hogs tonight? I know sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. I feel like I'm preaching to those that are right. And you say, Brother Smith, I'm with you 100%. But if we're not careful, we'll start letting little hogs slip in our life. If we're not careful, we'll start allowing things that ought not to be. To be. Somebody come to the piano, if you will. If we're not careful, we'll allow. Oh, that's just a little piglet. I mean, you don't even have a whole hog in your backyard, but a little bacon won't hurt. Right up in the pan. It's all right. Listen. We can't even afford, amen, to even think about putting a little hog in our freezer or on the plate. We can't afford to taste it. Touch not the unclean thing. Say, Brother Smith, how am I going to take a stand? When it comes time, you'll have a choice. And it'll hit you. It's hit me. Believe me, I know, because a lot of times there has been times where I had the opportunity to stand up for what's true for my family, and I ended up dodging the opportunity because I was afraid, Brother Wally, of confrontation. I was afraid of hurting their feelings. Young people, say, Brother Smith, that's for the older folks. Young people got to do right thing. It's up to us parents to teach them and help them to live right. Dress right. Sometimes we say, I don't know why my youngin' wants to wear clothes like that. Because you bought them. super fast. And I thought to myself, one time, hotel owner, it's been a while back, Carol, she come walking through, and she had a short skirt on. And it's one she'd been wearing for a long time. Long time, didn't wear them out to the feet. Probably wear them no more. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You got to wear them till you can't wear them no more. About time to retire that one to somebody else. Come on now. It's up to us parents to look. They ain't this big anymore. They're going to get this big. And that same dress that they was wearing there is going to be that much shorter. It's up to us parents to teach them and help them. There's parents out there that they got rock and roll posters on the wall. I don't know if you do. I don't. Sister. Now, there's a difference between some of these folks that you know is trying and coming. You call them brother, sister. And some folks that out there that just, they flat out stand against holiness. They're not somebody that's trying. I said that to say this. Holiness are hogs. It's time we get the hogs out. You know, when the prodigal son came back to the Lord, when the prodigal son came back to the father's house, he left all the hogs in the hog pen. But today we got them getting saved and they got a hog under each arm, coming home to the father's house. Come on now. They're carrying the hogs back to the house of God. And the preacher said, come on in, live like you want to live. Come on, it's time we leave the hogs in the hog pen and live right for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's find ourselves a place to pray. Let's pray against this spirit of worldliness. Let's pray against the tide of worldliness that's coming in, coming against our children, coming against our family, coming against us personally, our church. Let's pray right now, God, help us, Holy Ghost, against this tide. Help us, Holy Ghost, to stand for holiness. Help us, Lord God, not to be afraid to be called holiness, or holy roller, or legalist, whatever they want to call us, God. We'll be standing for the truth. Help us, Holy Ghost, here tonight. We'll praise you. We'll give you the glory and the honor. Help us, Lord. Come on, pray, saints, pray.